Hi, my name's Todd Adams. I'm with Zen Parenting Radio. This is Zen Talk number 93. We are going to begin this session with a centering exercise led by my wife, Kathleen Kasani Marie Adams.
Goes the other way, Marie.
Kathleen Marie Kasani Adams.
Yes. All right. So why don't you guys just put your feet on the floor if you'd like, close your eyes if you'd like, all up to you, and just release your shoulders back, maybe just blow out a few times. It doesn't have to be in unison with anybody else. Just let go. Maybe even shake your shoulders back a little bit. Shoulders hold so much tension. My goodness, the tension in my shoulders. And then just take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold it for 4, 3, 2, one, and exhale. Let's do it one more time. So deep inhale through your nose. 4, 3, 2, 1, then exhale. Okay. Then you can kind of shake your shoulders a little bit. Just kind of get you into this space. You can do jazz hands, whatever makes you feel here. Welcome everybody to Zen Talk.
I was just thinking, if we all as parents did that before we responded to our kids, mm-hmm. I have a feeling the story that I make up is I'd be a better parent. Mm-hmm. That's just
probably
my story. Okay. So I don't know if we have anybody new on here. I know we have some newer people. Mimi, is this your first time on? Oh, you're new. Welcome, Mimi. And Andrea, I think, has been with us, but she's relatively new. Is that right, Andrea? All right. I got a nod. Looks like Sean's still meditating. I don't know what's going on over there.
He's thinking.
Oh. all right. So Mimi, I'm so glad that you're here with us, and I'm glad that you have a question. So this is a very kind of loosely structured 60 minutes. So I'm going to unmute you, and you're going to tell us if you're comfortable with it, and tell us what you emailed me this morning, and then let's talk about it.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can.
Sort of, if you can talk into the mic a little bit better.
Can you hear me better?
Oh, much, better. So much better.
Okay. I don't know about this headset. Like, I can hear you guys without the headset, but no one can seem to hear me. So I have a son. He's 9. He'll be 10 in August. And my husband and I are both pretty laid back. And we have, I'm sure this is a common problem with a lot of people, screen time. He gets a lot of screen time, and I think he gets too much screen time. We have a desktop computer. He'll play video games on that, and we have that set up so it shuts off. And if he wants more time, he has to ask us for more time. But then he also has access to an iPad, and we keep thinking we have things to shut it off, but everything we do, it doesn't seem to work, or he figures out a way around it. And so on the weekend, sometimes I'll be like, how long has he been on the iPad? I think it's been like hours. And so, I'll talk to him about it and we'll try and get him to do other things. And he gets frustrated. And I talked to him yesterday. I'm like, hey, you know, I'd really like you to spend less time on screens. Could we come to an agreement on the number of hours? And his response was 17 hours, which he sleeps for 10 hours. So it's or I'll make a comment to him about hey, you know, you're on screens all the time. Can we do something else? He'll be like, not all the time, Mom. Sometimes I'm sleeping. But he's first he wakes up in the morning, he gets on his screen, and he's going to camp this week. And one of the reasons he's going to camp is because I'm working from home. My husband's working from home. He could be home with us, but I'm like, you're going to camp because you gotta do something else. You have to put on clothes. He likes to sit around, which I'm fine with. He sits around in his underwear all day, but I'm like, you know, this will force you to put on clothes. You'll interact with other people. So this week he goes to camp. I pick him up. I have a shorter work schedule, so I can pick him up around 3:30, and then he'll do his chores, which takes him 10 minutes. And then I'm like, okay, we started playing ping pong, and then he wants to be on the screen right away. And I'm okay with him having some screen time, but it's once he gets started, it's so hard to get him off, and we need some help putting putting some limits on it, and so that we're not, like, and I guess limits so that we're all getting along with each other, and he's not getting super mad at us and frustrated and, you know, angry, because that's what happens now. So,
mm-hmm. Well, a few things. Number one, it sounds like I'll just focus on today or right now while he's going to camp. It sounds like while he's going to camp, like you said, he came home and then he played ping pong or whatever, and then he got on screen time. And even though it's like, oh, he's been at camp all day, but now he's on screen time, it's really, he did what you're looking for, which is I did a bunch of other things and I spent time with you, and now I'm going to unwind with screen time. And so maybe take that, and I'm using this to kind of put this aside so you don't feel like every time he's on screen time, you're feeling offended by it, because then you're going to run into being offended by him all the time. Mm-hmm. There's kind of an agreement that you have to have internally of like, as long as he's doing some other things too, I am going to not be, because you don't want to be, it's you against screen time.
Right.
You want to join him in understanding, because I have a feeling you and your husband probably work on your computers all day mm-hmm. too, right? So
right.
It's not, even though I know as adults we're like, but we're working. Well, so are they, because work is play.
And that
for
doesn't
them.
Make sense to them.
It totally doesn't. Right. You know, so when we're like on our computer being like, you're on your screens all day, and it's like, but we are too. So We don't want to be the person going against it. What we do is we want to join them in, I understand why you like it. I totally think some of the things you're doing are cool. I totally think it's interesting that you figure out how to sidetrack all of our parental controls. Like, what are you doing?
Where do you get your creativity?
Yeah, like, teach us what you're doing. So it's not about you, because if you are going to go up against screen time, he is going to be annoyed at you. Instead, it's joining him. But Then here's the part that you're really looking for, is telling him, explaining to him, like, I think screen time's great too. I have it too. We just need to buffer it with other things. There has to be other things your brain is doing. I really have focused heavily on brain development with the girls, not because they understand things about neuropathways necessarily, or that they want to read Interpersonal Neurobiology by Daniel Siegel. They don't, but I want them to have an understanding. It's not me saying, get off the screen.
Right.
It's your brain saying, give me a break. So it's like, I'm trying to join them in their own self exploration rather than I'm going to be like, implementing all these rules on you. Cause that naturally leads to him pushing away and saying things like 17 hours, you know, he's being a cute little smart aleck, which, you know, All kids can be. But on the days where he is not at camp and he's at home, before that day begins or before that week begins, say, I know we're going to run into something this week because you don't have camp about you being on the screens all day. So let's come to an agreement. And I know you're going to say 17 hours, but let's be very literal about what are some other things you're going to do to buffer that screen time for your head. And Being very matter of fact, like, it's like if he said to you, I've decided all day I'm not going to eat. You'd be like, no, you got to eat at some point. It may be at one. It may be like, it's not okay to say I'm going to be on screen time all day. But instead of trying to do authoritarian on him, You're going to join him and say, how are we going to do this? Sorry.
That's okay. I have a few thoughts. One is, I'm totally with you, Mimi. Like, I struggle with this thing too. So I just want to normalize your frustration. Also, it's not what you're saying to him. It's from what energy are you saying it from? So I don't know if that makes sense to you, but if you're going in to want to win the argument, it's probably going to go sideways. If you're going into it with an energy of trying to connect with him and like figure this out together, kind of like what Kathy's saying, like, how can we figure this out together? It's going to be better. So you kind of like check, you have to check your own energy when you're doing this. Like, okay, am I really upset right now? And like, you could even say like, you know, the reason, kind of like Kathy's reasons about, you know, screen time and brain development. But I know enough about the brain that it's not really, really good for you to be on 17 hours a day. So let's find a middle ground. The other thing is, Kathy and I are going through something right now. One of our kids asked to do something and we had to say no to her.
It was hard.
And it was really hard. Mm-hmm. And, I don't like saying no to my kids. And what we did when we said no is like, I totally get that you're bummed out that we're not letting you do what it is that you want to do. And I get that you're annoyed and I get that you might be frustrated at us. So you just kind of like want to, if you can, even though we said no, how we said no is like, I get it. You want to go do this thing with your friends and we're not letting you do that. I totally understand. And then the last thing, and this is something I learned from Rob Bell, is say yes as often as you can to make your no's more valuable. So I'm just making this up. I don't know you, Mimi, but it's there's some parents out there that are saying no all the time. And then the kids just tune out from the no. So you do want to say yes as often as you can. That way, when you do say the no, and that's what we did with one of our daughters this week, like we say yes a lot because we trust her and all that, but she was just kind of going a little too far with what she was asking for. And
we were like,
we won't share exactly what that is. And then like, can you change the energy? Like when was the last time you tried to play a game with them? Like games aren't bad. Games are fun. Games are awesome. It's just too much games. It's just like too much this or too much that.
Too much sugar, too much. Yeah.
So
one thing I want to add to that is like, say he's been at like today, if he's been at camp all day and then he comes home and eats and then you guys play ping pong and then you're like, screen time now, like join him in his excitement with his screen time. Like,
okay.
Instead of, oh, now you're going to go play, because then he's like, I'm going to lose all the time. So I might like, even if I have a full day of not doing screen time, my mom's still pissed at me when I'm doing screen time. So instead you join him and then he can feel the difference. Then when you're like, you've been on for 8 hours, this isn't okay. It's different than you've been active. Go have fun on your game or go gaming.
Yeah,
like
be a part of it. Be excited. Sean just said something really interesting. The other thing we forget sometimes is the stuff is designed to addict us. Like
100%.
They got really smart people figuring out how best to keep their eyes on that screen for as long as possible. And you could even say that, like, just so you know that this system is created for you to be addicted. Like I was addicted to Intellivision and Atari and those games sucked. I can only imagine how seductive games are today because you level up and it's fun and there's like, you know, it's just, and it's social. Like, I don't know if is he on the headset with his friends or no?
No, not yet. He will do some multiplayer games, but he's not like doing the whole headset thing. Yeah. No.
So we did a lot of talking. I want to know what your thoughts are, what you connected with, what you disagree with, whatever.
No, this is helpful. This was good. And I'm pretty good. Like we're pretty good about like, we're okay with him having screen time and we let him have it because my husband and I both like our time. It's like, well, if he's on the screen, well then, you know, I can take a nap or read a book or go for a walk and I don't feel bad. We just have a hard time. Like, so I'm okay. Like even now, like, okay, I feel like he should get some when he's done with camp, he'll get it. But then like when it's time for dinner, it's hard to get him to put it down. And then, or if I do get him to put it down, it's like 10 minutes and then he wants to be back on. And then it's like, we can't get him to kind of turn it off again until it's like time for bed. It's kind of like that gap there, that window there where we really struggle too. And I mean, last night I did get him, we played a game together, nice. Like a board game, but that was like 15 minutes. And then he wanted to be right back. And then he's like back on. And he's like, I'm like, well, how about you just do 15 minutes of that now? And he didn't agree to that.
One thing that Andrea says, so she can relate to it. I often find myself thinking, wait, why on earth am I mindlessly scrolling through Facebook again? Mm-hmm. So that's like us taking responsibility for how we're interacting with screen. And Sean said, right, Andrea, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, how about TikTok? I don't understand TikTok. Do you understand TikTok?
I understand it. Yeah.
What is TikTok is videos that people post of them dancing.
It's kind of like a mixture of Musical.ly and Vine. And both of those are not being used anymore. And they've kind of been put into TikTok where it's not just music and dancing. There's other things on TikTok too. Like it's,
can
do you remember
we be
what
on
Vine?
TikTok?
Of course we can.
Do we have to have a dance to be on TikTok?
No. It's not just dance. It's another method of.
I see everybody dancing.
I know, but that's because it has that capability, but it's not the only thing on there. People use it for messaging and for memes and for all the above.
I want us to have a dance.
All right. We'll do a dance. We'll do it. You guys can join our TikTok.
Do you want to make one up right
now? Todd and I have a joke that we have with the girls where we'll be like, you know, because they love their YouTubers. We're like, we have a YouTube channel. We have 24 followers.
We have literally dozens of followers.
We have 24. And Todd said the other night, he goes, man, if we doubled our followers, we'd have 48. It was just funny because we don't.
Because all theirs are like 12 million. Or
right. They're like have 12 million followers. And I don't. This is probably obvious to you guys because of what we do. I don't love the visual medium as much as I love podcasting, because what Todd and I talk about, I don't want to have to worry. I used to do TV a long time ago, and it drove me crazy because everything in TV is focused on how you look. So your message gets very lost.
I think you look beautiful.
Thank you. But podcasting is beautiful because everyone's just listening to the words, you know. But when it comes to a dance, you can't podcast a dance.
I'm going
to
start podcasting dances. Next week's podcast, Zen Parenting, we're going to do a dance.
Okay. Mimi had a question about, Kim, don't get excited about our channel. Like, I'm telling you.
We haven't posted anything on in years, so there's not much there.
I think we, have the videos from the conference.
But if Kimmy subscribes, that means we'll have
25.
25.
So, Kim, go there so we can tell our girls.
Literally 25. Go ahead.
I wanted to speak to Millie's question.
Okay, before you do that, that's going to be the transition, because now we have nobody else that has a question.
Okay.
So, Kathy's going to answer Millie's question while you guys figure out how you want to use this time.
You sound like a teacher.
I want to keep it going.
All right. So, Millie's question is, how exactly are you teaching your girls about brain development and screen time? And it's not like I'm literally giving them lessons about it. It's that I'm using it as my way of talking to them about why we're restricting it. So instead of your dad and I just don't want you on screens anymore, it's always been, let me explain what happens when you're on the screen too long. It's part of the reason why you get really fatigued. It your brain doesn't know how to reconnect to people. I'm trying to think of some of the good, because now they're older, so they've kind of heard it over and over again. I'm trying to think, when I was younger, what did I used to say to them, Todd? I used to talk about how their neural pathways only connect if they're actually having real life interactions with people. That it's totally okay to relax and numb out on screen, but that's exactly what your brain is doing, is relaxing and numbing out. So if you really want to and I'm not saying then a kid is like, yay, I'm going to help my neurons. But it kept me out of the role of being, I'm against screens. Mm. It focused more of the attention on kind of like nutrition or, sugar or moving. It was less about, because it's like I say to my girls all the time, not I need you to move and get outside. It's like your body needs it. And they've had enough experience where they still love their screens and everything. It's not like everything has dramatically changed, but they'll say, "Woo, I haven't been outside today." And I'm like, yeah, they know the effects of not having fresh air. They know the effects of being on a screen for too many hours. And going back to what Todd just said to Mimi about, your son, you played a board game with him for 15 minutes. When you feel like there's kind of a witching hour, our doorbell's about to ring, everybody. Don't be afraid. It's just Amazon. Oh, no, he didn't ring it.
He turned around.
He must have known. When you know there's a witching hour where your child's on for an extended amount of time, maybe that's when, as parents, we say, let's go for a walk at 6 o'clock. Or that's when we're going to have dinner and then we're going to play a game after. It doesn't have to be the same every day, but we can kind of notice when those long stretches are and then impose ourselves maybe into the middle of it. Because we're probably trying to have that time with our kids during the day anyway. So why not make it multi-purposeful?
When you talk about witching hour, it makes me think of the song Witchy Woman.
Ooh,
witchy woman. Who sings that?
Eagles.
The Eagles?
Yeah. Duh.
I want to quote Lebowski right now.
Don't, because he uses the F word.
Do
you remember the Seinfeld where Elaine's dating the guy who loves Desperado? And then she's like, well, I'm going to have a song too. So she chooses Witchy Woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he's like, no.
And isn't she trying to talk to him? He's like, and the song is going on in the background. He's like,
don't.
Hold on.
He's like putty. He just needs to hear it.
Okay. Kelsey's got a question.
All right.
I don't know where Kelsey is because there's a baby swinging in the background. But
oh, baby. Oh my God. Did Kelsey have a baby?
Yeah, I think so.
Kelsey, is that your baby?
Hi. Yeah.
Oh.
Hi, baby. OMG. Kelsey had her baby.
Yeah.
Pin that. Hold it. Keep the camera there. I want to pin that just so I could get a better look.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
Who is that?
That's Nadine.
Nadine
Pearl.
Love it. Love it.
How are you
born? I feel all right. That's not very convincing, is it? she was born April 5th.
Okay. Congrats.
Yeah. Congrats, Kelsey.
Thank
so
you.
Happy for you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of related to what I wanted to ask about, which is just kind of a check-in really, but yeah, that everything with the birth went really well. So good. That was really, we're very grateful for that. It was very fast. but I just wanted to kind of like ask a question / check in about, I mean, I'm in a particular circumstance because I'm in this, you know, this current circumstances also with a newborn baby. Mm-hmm. So it's added joy / stress, right? It's kind of a stressful joy, joyful stress. Mm-hmm. That and you know, common theme with me is that I just put a lot of pressure on myself to always be growing and always be doing better, and I'm an Enneagram 1. Mm-hmm. And so perfectionist is up, and I'm slowly learning that even though I've had a baby before, I've never had a baby and a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. And we have not had any childcare help up to this point. My partner is still on parental leave for the next couple of weeks, but he goes back to work in July. But I'm just finding that like, I'm expecting myself to be a better parent, you know, like, oh, we're home all the time. We should be connecting. It should be great. Like all these shoulds. And it just feels like we're worse parents mm-hmm. than we were, you know, 6 months or a year ago. And I'm hoping I'm not alone in that situation. Whoa, what's up, dude? Okay, get your game. I guess what is my question? Like, I guess I'm just needing some validation. Like, are other people having this experience of like, I'm not having the time to fill my own cup. Like Matt and I are both really independent people. And a lot of the ways that we fill our cups is through being alone. Mm-hmm. And there really isn't any alone time now. I kind of feel like I'm repeating, you know, what has been said for the past 3 months, but, and we're also just, you know, we really believe that like, we're also, even if we're not going in the world, we're sensitive to the collective energy of the world, right? So there's just so much going on with unrest and protest and pain and illness and everything. So I guess part of me is, yes, I'm wanting to know like, what can I do? But I'm also just wanting, I guess, some validation that like, it's okay, but I'm not, you know, I feel like I have backslid in my parenting. And I just feel really gross about it because I worry that because repair is such a new thing for me, like I didn't get repair as a kid. So I worry that we're going to do damage in the long term.
Mm. So that's the big vulnerability part. Like all the other stuff's true. I'm not saying it's not, but that's the grave fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you want to go first?
Yeah. There's so many different things that I want to say, but I really kind of feel like I should just give you the space. I feel like there's a lot of coming up for you right now, and I don't want to try to talk you out of anything you're feeling. Story I make up is you're afraid and a little sad, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
And if not now, just make sure you give yourself some space to express that with your partner or on a walk. So, you're in the dark days. You have a newborn. And ever anybody has a newborn, I call that the dark days. Now, it's also joyful and all that other crap, but it's the dark days. No sleep, sleep deprivation. Sprinkle in a 5-year-old.
Sprinkle in a pandemic.
And racial inequality.
Yeah.
Like, forget about it. Like, of course.
Some systematized racism.
Yeah. Of course you're struggling.
Yes. Yeah.
So if there's a way for me to validate you 100 times right now, I would be doing that. I don't quite know. I don't have the language to express that. But yeah, this is really, really tough.
But Andrea just said, I have borderline PTSD symptoms when someone tells me they have a newborn at home, because it comes up. It does for me too. I actually, I feel like this has come up recently where I've been like, oh, I have no desire for that time. And the irony and the paradox is I loved that time. Mm-hmm. This is not about, oh, you know, poor Kelsey. It's about, I love where you are. And when I was there, I have a lot of fond, my whole house is filled with pictures of that time, but I'm also glad to be done because it has its own issues that are challenging. And so I'm also validating you. And even as a parent of teenagers or two teenagers and a preteen, I really struggled yesterday. I struggled more than just yesterday, but it just happened yesterday that I said to Todd, because I haven't been gone in 3.5 months. And I, like you, Kelsey, that's what I need, is to be away. And we had to figure out a way where I could just go away for a day. Just me, you know, like me alone, not like let's go away together, because that's what we've been doing. Yeah. So I'm validating that if you can figure out, and I know with a newborn, that's rough, especially if you're, you know, feeding and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, but that may not work, but I just want to validate that. And also to say that, just to focus on some of your words, and this is for you and everybody else, when you say you're backsliding, I think that's language to say that somehow you're failing, that you should know better. And that isn't true, that when you are going through a time where you're not practicing self-care the way you used to, it's not a backslide. It's an awareness of that all my energy is going somewhere else. And when you have the feeling of, oh my God, I'm not doing self-care, that's the reminder to do it. It's not like you failed. I just got off the call with one of my clients and we were talking about this, where she was saying, I've been using so much energy over here, and now I realized I haven't been practicing self-care, and when am I going to learn? I'm like, but you did learn, because now you're doing it. We think that if we have overwhelmed, then we've failed, versus when we have overwhelmed, that's a reminder, now I know to do self-care. And sometimes we have things built in where it's not quite we don't fall in such a deep hole. But I'm just checking your language for you, because you're not backsliding. You are having an awareness. And as far as repair goes, there's going to be things that happen with your kids, steps that you took or didn't take, things you said or didn't say, that they're not going to get everything they need. And that's okay. You're not going to, they have their own life. Even your infant, they don't need you to give them every aspect of their being. They have, you know, the resiliency you have, even coming from a place with no repair, they have that too. So you doing, you know, I'm going to go way back in time. I'm going to go to Winnicott, good enough mother. You being self-aware and doing the best you can with what Don Miguel Ruiz says our best is, which is our best every day, not always at the top of the line, but whatever our best is enough. It's enough. Because that pressure, that idea that if you say something wrong or do something wrong, you won't be able to repair, that's your story. That's not their story. Because imagine if your infant right now at 30, Nadine's going to come to you at 30 and say, Mom, you know something you missed? You didn't do this, or you didn't let me sign up for piano, or you didn't like cheer enough for me when I was doing my sport. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to go, oh, Nadine, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I missed that. And I wish I would have known that then. And could, you know, will you forgive me for missing that? And she's going to say, thank you for hearing me. Do you see what I mean? Like, you're not going to pretend that you did everything perfect. You're going to be a human being with her right now and when she's 30.
Yeah. Kelsey's got some perfect motherhood.
Well, she's a one.
Stuff going. And she's a one. That she's a one. So we're throwing a lot of terms out, and not everybody might know this. You said Winnicott, you said Don Miguel Ruiz.
Sorry.
And you said a one. Yeah. What are those three
things? So what Kelsey is saying is she's a one on the Enneagram, which means that it means a lot of wonderful, wonderful things. Like ones are, we couldn't live in this world without our ones. But there's also a lot of pressure and perfectionistic kind of mentality of, I need to do this the right way every time. And that's the pressure she's putting on herself. Don Miguel Ruiz wrote the Four Agreements, and the fourth agreement is to do your best. But what he means by that is, some days your best is to get out of bed and take a shower, and that's all you can do. that's your best that day, and to have some sense of understanding of that. And then Winnicott, D.W. Winnicott is a, clinician psychologist who coined the term. He also coined the term our false and true self. But what I'm talking about is the good enough mother, which means we're not supposed to give our children a perfect life, because then they don't have a boundary to butt up against. They need some tension, and we don't need to create the tension.
You'll create it without knowing.
You'll create it without knowing it. And it's okay for them to be like, I don't agree with my mom. I need to figure this out. That's part of brain development too. So we're not supposed to be meeting every need, doing everything perfectly.
So while the team is trying to come up with another question, I want to ask Kelsey a question, but first a request. So we have this kind of membership directory on your login page for Team Zen. Kelsey is struggling right now. So if anybody wants to email Kelsey, like, hey man, we got your back.
Or if any of you are pregnant or have newborns.
Yeah, like, you know, so just reach out to her. That's one of the reasons why we created that page, so you guys can support her. I love the chats. Like, Millie put something in there, Alicia, Andrea. So thank you for doing that. But shoot Kelsey an email. I'll do that. I'll shoot you an email, Kelsey. I'll commit to doing that by 2 o'clock today.
And then my aunt Peg said, Are you worried about when your husband goes back to work?
Yeah.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I am. Thanks, Peg. Yeah. We're working on kind of building in a little bit more structure to our days. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely am worried about it's hard to even put it into words. I've kind of lately been trying to just verbalize that my fear is kind of manifesting in this visualization of myself holding the baby, you know, sad and angry and very paralyzed on the couch, and with just a 5-year-old like running around screaming, tearing up the house. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there might be moments of that here and there, but I don't think it's going to be like that all the time. But yeah, it's hard to stay in today and remember that I'm not there yet.
Totally.
Yeah. We have a tendency to parent from the past or the future. Yeah. You know, and there's part of me that's always like, I want to say these stupid things to you. Like, you know, God doesn't give you more than you can handle, or you'll get through it. Like,
don't say those things.
BS on all that. Right now you're afraid, you're sad, you're angry. And just love that part of yourself. Like, it's okay. It's all okay. And just be afraid, or just be mad that you don't have the freedom you want, and embrace that part of you.
Yeah.
You
know? And because there is a little mom guilt in there too, not just for you, Kelsey, but for all of us. When we have a hard time or a hard day, we go to, but we should love this and enjoy this and be present for it. And all that's just like, we're beating ourselves. We're like releasing our feelings and then beating ourselves up for the feelings. And you already have enough experience now as a mom to know that there are days that are lovely and joyful, and there are days that suck, and our kids are our people. And sometimes we're like, I can't get enough of you. And sometimes we're like, oh my God, I've had so much of you. And it's not about our maternal sense. It's about our human sense. And so I agree with Todd, like when he's saying, you know, love those parts of you, what he's saying is don't beat yourself up for that. You're not like, I think every mom or parent or, you know, anybody would say, no matter what, there are days that we're like, goodbye, I've had plenty. And to your point, sometimes when they're that little, you can't just walk away.
That's why they're called the dark days.
But there will be times when Nadine is sleeping and when your son is playing, and you can sit and take a breath and say, this is my time, and I'm not going to try and go play with my son, and I'm not going to try and be engaged, and I'm not going to say, oh, I was with her, I should be with him. You're going to say, no, me. And then that'll be better for him at night when you're putting him to bed. And, you know, so you're just going to figure out how to carve it out. And it will be different than with your first. Try not to compare.
It's a new family, right?
I have a picture of myself in this family room that I've probably talked to you guys about, that I'm sitting with all three of my girls on my lap, and they're like 4, 2 and an infant. And I look at that picture and I'm like, I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I did that. And I still kind of don't. And when I say that, you were there too, but it's not me alone, but really I was the person with them the majority of the day. And I'm not quite sure how I did that, but somehow we all did. And that's the self-trust piece, is you're gonna not feel good every day, but you're gonna do it.
Yeah. Can you repeat the thing you said about it's not backsliding?
Yeah, sure. So what I'm saying about it's not backsliding is that really when you have the awareness that you're overwhelmed or that you haven't practiced self-care or that you, you know, haven't said the perfect things or that you feel, you know, you're overwhelmed, that's not going backwards. That's you having a recognition of I need something different. If it be some time, more sleep, a conversation like this, this isn't you. The going backward, that's probably part of your personality that you think you need to be continually learning and growing and that it's going to go like this. And that's not the way things go in life, as we know. Things go like this. And it's more of like, so we're not backsliding. We're just having a, you know, and then the next day, you know, so it's like, it's almost like drawing that for yourself. Life is not like this. It's like this. And sometimes those threads get a little shorter in that you're going to realize the need for self-care earlier. And when I use self-care, I mean, you're going to realize I'm really grumpy. I need to take a walk, or I'm getting that feeling of like, I'm not alone. I need something for next week. Like the lag time will get shorter, but there's no, every book you've read is inside of you. Every talk you've had on Team Zen is inside of you. Every thing that you've watched or the videos or your experience as a parent lives inside of you. You're not going backwards. It's just your ability to access it when you need it. Do you see what I mean? I had a teacher who wouldn't let me write down things when I was learning from her. Millie, you would have been so upset with her because I would, you know, she'd be saying things to me and I would be like, she'd be like, do not write it down. Take it in. And I would always be like, well, what if I forget? But I've learned to trust that. She was trying to get me to trust that I have what I need. And I still write things down. I didn't, but my point is that you, that's your moment of, instead of I'm going backwards, it's now I'm getting indications from my body and mind that I need something different. And I have the tools to do that rather than I've made a mistake because I'm having these feelings. Does that make sense? It's like just a little visual.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like a little alarm or like tripping the wire going off that I've run out of internal resources or, you know, something. I need something to, even if it's just that I step away and take three breaths or something.
Cool. What's funny is I have so many friends of mine that say small kids, small problems, big kids, big problems. And I'm like, F that, man. Kelsey's in the middle of it. Give me the teenage big problems. Cause that is what Kelsey is going through is.
Well, it's not one or the other. It's both.
Right. I know. And it's just whenever people are like, oh, you know, little kids that it's, you know, it's not that hard. Yeah. They forget. We forget. I forgot. Kathy forgets.
You forget? I haven't forgotten. I have, meaning I'm not feeling all the things Kelsey has, but I kind of like Andrea saying she has a little bit of PTSD. I do too, where when someone brings in a newborn, I'm like, oh, and then they walk away. I'm like, oh, so done. Like, because that was so much intensity of my body, mind, and spirit. You know, you just gave birth to this child. Your body is still like not sure if you're pregnant or, you know, like there's so many things running through your body. Like, you know, I loved that language of the, and I know, I'm sure you know this, like the fourth trimester where you're not even through your pregnancy. Your body still is interwoven mind, body, spirit with this child. So to think that you could have your own space, you barely have that in any way, shape or form. So it is, you can create some space, but what I'm saying is the feeling of I should know better, this should feel different. Of course it shouldn't. It's exactly how it should be. So
bless you, Kelsey.
Thank you very much, everyone.
No, you're welcome.
Yeah.
All right. I have no questions in the queue.
There's one.
It's not a question. That's just Dawn saying that.
Oh yeah. Same thing, different pants. It's my favorite saying. Stole it from Oprah. Everything is different pants. What I have fun with is talking to my clients who I've had for a long time. And we have fun talking about the threads that are all the same, that they'll think, oh, this is a brand new problem. And then we'll be like, I don't do the thread for them. We talk it through and we realize, oh, this is just the same thing. We have these seeds that we all kind of come from if it be our personality and our spirit and who we came here to be, plus our challenges in childhood, our traumas, all these things, they're all in this seed. And then every limb has all those pieces. And so it's like, it all shows up the same. And I think rather than say, I want to stop those things from happening, we start to just notice them and have compassion for ourselves and realize how typical and how that's just the way human beings are. I love realizing I'm a human being. It just lets me off the hook so much in the best way.
Sweetie, Dawn has a question.
Yes, Dawn.
Before we go to Dawn, though, I want to tell a quick story about how your teacher didn't let you write things down.
Yes.
I was in accounting class in college, and I would take notes, and then I'd study for the test, and then I'd take the test, and I'd get a bad grade. So one day I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to take notes anymore. I'm just going to listen to the teacher. I'm going to lock in. I'm going to lock into the teacher. My grade got worse.
I was just going to say, you're going to tell me you got a worse grade.
Yeah. That didn't work at all.
Maybe you just suck at accounting.
Oh, I suck so bad at accounting.
I solved
the problem.
Isn't
accounting the worst? Is there any accountants on? Sorry if I'm offending any accountants, but it's the worst. And you cannot cram for an accounting test. I don't care how hard you try.
Well, and there's many different geniuses in the world, many different types of genius. You know, there's math genius and science genius and literacy and musical genius and sports genius and emotional genius. We all have different geniuses, but I feel like I'm furthest from that math genius.
Sweetie, you want to work at a bank?
I don't want to work at a bank ever.
Banks. You love the energy of banks.
When I walk in a bank, my skin crawls. And not because I don't like money. It's just that the whole idea of like sitting down with someone and like creating it, like working with that.
You love fluorescent lights.
Okay, let's answer a question.
All right, let's go to Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
I can't hear you yet. Something's wrong with your mic. Hold on. I can't hear you. See if you can switch settings on your mic.
Can we unmute her?
She's unmuted.
Is that better?
Yes, that's
better.
Now we can hear
you. Thank you.
Okay. So I don't actually have a question. I just wanted to say that kind of reiterating what I said in the comments, but I don't have to come to these Zen talks with a question and I will get help when I didn't even know I needed it. You know, like just listening to somebody else's story. And my kids are not newborns, but I very much have PTSD from my child, my first child as a newborn. And so I can relate to that. But then as you were talking, I was like, no, wait, this applies to me. And I have a 9-7-year-old. So that's all. I just wanted to say that's one of my favorite things about Team Zen is that I show up to these not because I have a question. I show up to them because I accidentally learn all the time. And I love it. So that's all. Love you guys.
Thank you, Dawn.
Me too. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know how Todd and I always talk about universal principles? There's also universal issues that we have. Like where even if it's, hi, Cameron. Hi. Even if it's like... you know, we live in different places or our kids are different ages or we're different people, but there's this universal thread of like, I have that feeling too. So I agree with you, Dawn. That's why I love to talk to people because it validates my experience too.
Millie, do you want to speak or you want me to read it? Well, I can't read your lips.
There she goes.
Here. Hey guys. I just had that follow-up question about the brain science thing. Which I feel like we've given some of that information to our daughter, our 13-year-old daughter. And I've brought her up in a Zen talk before how, you know, in the beginning of this sheltering in place, it was hard for us to get her outside. We still really can't get her outside. You know, the idea is, well, let's go read outside. Let's go do some of the things she likes to do, but outside. I feel like it has turned into just apathy and possibly depression.
Yeah.
I mean, it could very well be some form of depression for her, right? The only thing that literally makes her smile is if she, you know, gets screen time.
Yeah.
And so I have been doing after the boys go to bed, we sit and watch something. We're watching Harry Potter movies right now. So then she's all smiley and everything. But oh my God, I mean, but all the other times, I don't, of course, but I just want to wring her neck because she just, there's nothing. Like she won't say hello. I guess I've just run out of ideas on how to motivate her, you know, apathy is the word I come up with, and I'm not sure how to, what's the opposite of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go.
Well, you know, I hear your question. I read your question. And one of the things to remember is that even if they're not reacting and responding to what you're saying, she is hearing you. So Cameron just walked by and I was going to get her to come down here and tell you that, because that's what she's taught me, is that sometimes I tell Cameron things or suggest things to her and she doesn't do it. Cameron's got a strong mind and she's like, no, not interested. But she'll say to me later, I heard you. I'm taking in what you're saying. Now, I know from a perspective of, yeah, you know, like you're talking about your daughter, but yeah, you're not getting outside. She is integrating the fact that getting outside may make her feel better and she may make that choice someday. And maybe right now, because of her energy level, and, you know, even using the word depression, I think everybody could relate to this right now. Depression is built into what we're doing right now with sheltering in place and everything. There's no way to have life stop and have all these things occur and not have that feeling of despair. And, you know, we all have it in some form of another. And so it's even normalizing that to her, which you probably already have, but that when you, instead of, again, it's similar to screen time, instead of it's you against her and her apathy, it's you joining her and understanding her apathy. Like, this sucks. And like the apathy that you feel, honey, I feel it too. And then no, but you should get outside, because then it all gets lost. It's like joining her, because what does help depression or apathy is feeling seen and understood. That doesn't always help them rally. And, you know, that's just one piece of the puzzle, Millie. I'm not saying just do that and everything will be fine. I'm saying add that to what you're doing. Add that piece of like, and speak to it yourself. Like my mom is right now experiencing a lot of depression because she is in a assisted living place. Nobody can go in. They've been stuck. I'm sure a lot of you have had that experience too, but a lot of my conversations with her are around normalizing that. Like, she's like, I've never experienced this or whatever, which isn't necessarily true, but I'm like, yeah, like us too. And me too. And not in terms of like, me too, so you shouldn't be sad, but adjoining. And because what the joining does is she then at least knows it's a form of caring. And then you can still have your rules, Millie. You can still say, this is the amount of screen time. You don't have to change your boundaries. Mm-hmm. But as we've talked about here a million times, and I know you're experiencing yourself, we can't force, unless we literally pick them up and throw them outside. I mean, we can suggest a walk. I love that you're watching Harry Potter at night. Think about the messages in Harry Potter. Like, you're looking at it as screen time, but Harry Potter is full of some good messages. She's getting the smile is because it's screen time and because this is a place where goodness is being fought for. You know, the dark isn't, we're not pretending, the dark is there, but the goodness is being fought for. And I think that's why it's so beloved. Kids are like, it's so real, right? Not real. It's in a fairy tale kind of framework, but it's real. So even that discussion of joining her with, this makes me feel better to know there's people fighting for goodness. I mean, and these are just little pieces, because you've got so many pieces, Millie, already that I know you're doing well. It's just adding that component and then taking the pressure off yourself to think that you're supposed to be doing something.
Yeah. The story I make up is Millie thinks that her daughter should be different. Yeah. And that she has control over creating that. You have influence, but you really don't have much control unless you do what Kathy said, which is you pick them up and you push them out the door. You don't really have that control, even though we wish we did. I mean, I wish I did. I wish I can take a walk with my daughters every day, but they don't play catch with me.
Todd's like, who wants to play catch?
Nobody ever wants to play
Radio
catch.
Radio silence.
I that's not true. Skylar and I played catch for about 10 minutes this week.
But like going to, you know, because you had a lot of questions in there, like, the first one is that she does feel apathetic, but she hears you. The second one is, you know, she does want to watch screen time with you and that makes her smile and that makes a lot of sense. And the third one is that this is a moment in time and this isn't her always, meaning there will be a time when she's back in school. There will be a time when she's busy and not able to be in an apathetic state, and that will have its good and bad too. Do you know what I mean? She's probably going to end up being, you know, one of those students who's like, you know, working really hard and doing a lot of things that could be in college or grad school. It may not be high school, but my point is that it's like one of those things where we have to kind of, you know, right now, so many children are being forced to be apathetic, but it's a moment in time. And just keep talking about that.
Before we move on to Judy, I want to see if Millie wanted to close that loop.
Yeah, I think it comes back to my just accepting.
Yeah.
It, right? I mean, we have sat with her, you know, and go, boy, this whole thing sucks.
Yeah.
I could be outside. I wish I could see my friends, blah, blah, blah. We say that all the time to all three kids. I think she's a very different person than me.
Yeah.
I would acknowledge if the person was saying whatever they were saying to me, you know what I mean? She does not.
No.
I have to accept that she's not going to do it. I think it triggers me just because I would never do that, you know, to an adult. Right. But I grew up differently and I was taught differently. She's just a different person. I have to accept it. It's the whole letting go, accepting thing, which has been so hard, you know, especially during this sheltering in place time. Cause it's triggering me in so many ways. Right. I think I just have to believe that she is hearing me despite the fact that she does not answer.
and two things I want to add to that. Number one, like you said, you as a kid would not have responded to an adult that way, but you now as an adult are unwinding a lot of that.
You're untying
those knots that wasn't inherently good.
Yeah.
That wasn't like, wow, I was a good kid. And now look, now you're unwinding a lot of the messaging of that you didn't have. And again, this is not about your parents, but about that you didn't have the value. Your daughter is learning a different sense of value about, I do have a voice. So she's going to have to unwind other things. But, you know, for not just for Millie, but for everybody, be careful about romanticizing what you did as a child, because it doesn't mean that if she did that, it would be better. It'd just be easier in this moment for you.
Well, and my two cents is acceptance, or I sometimes use the word surrender, does not mean inaction or complacency. No. Like, you can accept and surrender and then take action from that energy. And what else was I going to say to Millie about that? Oh, and you know, you can't say, okay, 2 months ago on that last Zen talk, I accepted it. Like, this is...
We gotta accept it over and over.
You can't say, well, I already did that work. Like, cause you didn't. And the reason I know that is cause you're getting triggered. And the reason I know that is cause I get triggered when my kids do something that activates something in me, whether it's present day or childhood. Like,
well,
it's an ongoing process.
It's interesting. Cause we just had this conversation outside yesterday. You will always get triggered by that thing.
Oh yeah.
So in no way is Todd saying, if you were to work that through, you wouldn't be triggered. You will always be triggered by it. It's about your response to it that's shifting, and the fact that every moment you get triggered by it, you have to make a choice about it. So it's not about if you worked through it, it would go away.
I would replace the word always with most likely, because I think there are things that you can untie certain knots and not get,
I guess that's
and
true.
Evolve through it.
That's true. But yes, period.
Period.
New paragraph. And also, there, don't be down on yourself if you have a trigger that's really strong neural pathway, that it always comes up. If it's not the Todd situation, if it's more like, ooh, that hit me, it's okay. Yeah, it's not because it's like Kelsey was saying, it's not because you're backsliding, it's not because you're not doing enough work. It's about that's really ingrained. And you and I have had these conversations. There's certain things that are so ingrained that you're having to learn about. Same. Like, there's certain things ingrained in me that my first reaction is always, woo.
And what's weird is we're totally kind of going in the deep end here, but the more traumatic, the harder the knot it is to unwind. Mm-hmm. And probably the earlier it happened in life, mm-hmm. the harder it is to unwind.
Would you
agree with that?
I would, even though the word trauma insists that it was something that it could have just been deeply embedded.
Yes.
Like, it could be cultural.
Right. Yeah.
It could be something that you experienced since the moment.
Yeah. When I think of trauma, I think of something huge, and it could be
deeply embedded.
Yes. Okay.
So there's just some deeply embedded things.
Keep on keeping
I've
on.
I've got them too.
Thanks, Millie. Okay. Judy says it's so hard having the kids in the room and talking about these things openly. It would be so much easier to say it as opposed to trying to express it in writing. I thought about expressing some feeling today about depression. Kathy, you described the self-work so well in one of the recent podcasts. I feel like you described so well what I'm going through. I am on medication now, but I resisted it originally because I felt that I have to do this work for myself. And I know that it is first worse before it gets better. Recently, you mentioned the balance about when to take medication. I'm not sure I have a question in there, but can you comment on the self-work and depression balance? When do we know when it is normal and when it is depression?
Sure.
So to sum up, I think that last question is the best. How do you know something that you can, it's not that big of a deal, and then depression is a bigger deal? How do you negotiate that? How do you tell if it's depression or not?
Well, I mean, that's not a, I can't answer that question.
Sweetie, we have 2 minutes. Go ahead and figure that out.
How do you know? And how do you, so I think what Judy's answer is that Judy, when you're saying I have to do this work, you know, that thought of I have to do this work by myself, some of times doing the work by yourself means taking medication. It's not like I'm either doing it on my own or I'm taking medication. It's sometimes those go together so I can work more intensely without having to combat maybe the heaviness or the weight. Like one way that you can know is by if you have had a pattern where you're like, this is not working and I need to do something different, and you're working with a caregiver that you trust, taking medication and seeing if it helps. If you have a month where you're like, I'm on medication and I actually feel like I have more energy to do A, B, C, and D, and I can look more intensely at these issues without having to combat all this heaviness, then there's your answer. And you may then stay on it for a long period of time. You may say, okay, I'm dealing through some of these things that I've never had the opportunity to look at. I don't maybe like some of the side effects. So eventually, not tomorrow, but eventually I'm going to see if I can ease myself off. But then you may find, I work a little better with this medication. It's not one or the other. It's a, and like your question about, you know, I think your question is what depression is normal. All depression has, everybody has the experience of depression. But when do you feel like I don't have any other, like I need support in to do the hard work? Like, I kind of feel like depression is like the boat that keeps you above the water. So then you can do the hard work in the boat. But if you're in a boat that's constantly sinking, you can't do any hard work. You see what I mean?
I don't know if this is right or not, but I would always invite anybody who's on medication to accompany that with therapy or coaching.
Well, but she's already doing that.
Okay.
Like she's,
I didn't know that.
It's not, like I said, it's not one or the other. It's, and again, I appreciate you saying that for someone listening who's like, you know, that my point when I'm saying hard work, that means the deep dives and the self-care and the asking the questions they can work together, and medication doesn't have to be for always. You know, it's kind of like we were talking about day by day. Like if you're like, I'm sinking in a very leaky boat, then talk to your caregiver about medication. If you feel like your boat is sailing pretty nicely and you're like, I would like to see, you know, maybe see if I can not have medication, you can try that, but you don't have to either. Like, it's funny. I'm reading a book right now called On Being Human. I don't know if anybody's read it.
You're reading a book?
Yes. But she's talking about how she had been working so hard and working, and then like 10 years ago, her caregiver gave her Cymbalta, which is kind of, I don't even know if Cymbalta is around anymore. And then she was like, oh, now I can actually do my life. And she has since, I don't know if she's still on medication, but it was her like awareness of like accepting support is okay. And it took me a long time to get here, Judy. Like I had to be put into some pretty serious situations before I accepted that when I needed medication, you know, like, and I didn't want to, and I didn't like it, and I fought it, and I felt a lot of shame. And then I was able, as I said on the show, to do what I needed to do. And, you know, and I still, I don't have to take it right now, but as I told Todd, I still have it. It's in my drawer. It's almost like a metaphor or like a representation of if I need help, it's there. Do you see what I mean?
A release valve.
Oh, it is. It's like even just knowing
that it's there helps you.
And it's also a great gratitude. Thank God I didn't sleep for 4 days.
That sucks.
I know.
In closing,
thank
everybody. And I also want to give a plug to my friend who's on this call named Sean Emerson. Sean is doing a weekly guided meditation.
Oh, it's not just for men?
It's not just for men.
Oh, Sean, yay.
So it is something that that a lot of guys in the Tribe Men's Group are doing, but anybody who's on Team Zen or friends of Team Zen, it's 30 minutes. It's a long time. But you don't have to stay the whole time. That's the other
thing. Can you post that on the Team Zen?
I'm going to unmute Sean and just...
Sean, tell us about it.
What's your plan here? What is this thing?
I think Todd covered it. You're hearing noise in the background. 30 minutes, come as long as you want. Guided meditation, really meant to come and explore who we are, who we want to be in a safe, secure, and loving community. And that's the objective. So it's Monday mornings at 6:30 a.m. Central Time. And yeah, we can send out the Zoom link if people are interested in participating.
Sean, to have you. Sean, send me an email that I can add to the email that goes out to the team.
Okay.
And
do you record it, Sean?
Yes, we are recording it. Yep.
And each Monday we'll have a different theme. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Ah.
So yet another, oh my goodness. Forget about Sean. Look at that baby. I got to spin that baby.
That was quick.
Oh my goodness.
All the attention was on me. With babies.
Hi, baby. Hi, baby.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. See, and then now I want to hold your baby. So like that trauma is like gone. And now I just want to smell Nadine's head.
Yes. I want to smell Nadine's head too. That's my favorite part, smelling their heads.
Look at her. She needs mama so much. She loves mama so much. Mm. Mama's her person. Oh, babies are the best.
Oh. Okay. So yeah, I'm going to be on Monday morning. So if you guys want to be cool like me, you'll jump on Sean's 30-minute guided meditation.
Was that a goat in the background with Sean?
I don't know. Sean, you got
Sean,
goats?
Was that a goat?
No, it's some yard equipment.
Oh, I thought it was like an animal.
Yeah.
Nadine wants to know.
Surrounded by goats.
Millie, you're going to have to wake up at 4:30. You're really going to wake up
but
at
she
4:30?
Can. It'll be recorded so she can listen to it when she wakes up.
Yeah, it's tough for me. There it is. Oh my God, Nadine's so sweet. All right, guys, we love you. Oh, White Fragility next week on Wednesday.
Hope you guys have been able to read the book. That book was so good. I've read so much. I'm sure you guys have too. And we continue to watch the news and be as active as we can be, being taking what we've learned and putting it into action, even if it's just speaking up or reconsidering some things we do. We're learning and taking action simultaneously as we do through life.
I think we should close Zen Talk number 93 with jazz hands. And that means you got to do this.
No, you go like this.
No, you got to do this.
No, you're doing this.
Judy, let's see him. There we go.
All right. Everybody's got jazz.
Nadine's doing it. Yes.
Nadine is so Team Zen.
Oh, my goodness.
She knows what's up.
All right. Love you guys. Keep trucking. Adios.